Welcome to the dark and captivating world of murder on Music Row, where the melodies of Nashville meet the mysteries of true crime. I'm your host, Emily, once entwined with the gritty realities of local TV news journalism. My journey has taken me through the twisted paths of criminal investigations, where I've delved into local crime stories and engaged closely with authorities. Stepping away from the newsroom, my passion for unveiling the hidden truths behind crime stories burns brighter than ever. I'm dedicated to sharing victim stories and shedding light on unsolved cases, hoping to spark recognition or a vital memory in someone connected to these mysteries. Bear with a slightly longer introduction, as it's our very first episode, a gateway to the labyrinth of crime and justice. The stage is set. The story awaits. Let's unveil the secrets of the infamous Tanning Bed Murders. Today, we're peeling back the layers of one of Nashville's most infamous unsolved double homicides. Two young women brutally murdered at an adult entertainment business, stabbed collectively nearly 100 times. It's 1996 in Nashville, a year marked by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men's soulful sounds and the cinematic thrill of John Travolta and Broken Arrow. Bill Clinton leads the nation while Phil Bredesen helms Music City, where Brooks and Dunn's My Maria reigns supreme and the Beach Boys light up Fan Fest, which would later become CMA Fest. And then there's the weather. Temps dip below 0 degrees on February 3rd, a rare event not repeated until January 2024. Flashback to 1996 on Church Street, a quiet edge of the medical district, not quite yet the bustling spot filled with hangouts like Hi-Fi Clyde's and clubs like Play. It's here that 28 years ago, on February 22nd, 1996, a sinister chapter in Nashville's history unfolds. In a nondescript building at 1805 Church Street, tragedy struck. The Tanning Bed Murders, as they were later dubbed, claimed the lives of two 18-year-old women, Tiffany Campbell and Melissa Chilton. Their deaths marked a shocking brutality, nearly 100 stab wounds, left the city reeling and the case ice cold. Before we plunge into the abyss of that fateful day, let's remember this is more than a true crime story. Tiffany and Melissa were not mere headlines, but vibrant young lives cut tragically short. We must always remember that these victims were just that, victims who had families and full lives ahead of them. Tiffany Campbell, a Nashville native, was born in October 1977 and went to McGavick High School. Tiffany's grandmother, Ernestine, said she was a really good girl and had an unmistakable smile and affectionately called her May. Tiffany spent a lot of time visiting and going to church with her grandmother. As Ernestine's only granddaughter, she said they were really close from the time Tiffany was born. Melissa Chilton of Brush Creek, Tennessee, was born in August 1976 and graduated from Gordonsville High School. While in high school, Melissa was a vibrant cheerleader and even won the Most Spirited Award, according to her mother, Gail. After graduating from high school, she enrolled at MTSU, Middle Tennessee State University, as a psychology major, where Gail said her plan was to potentially focus on children's psychology. So how did these two young women from different backgrounds cross paths? The answer lies in Exotic Tan for Men, an establishment shrouded in mystery, masquerading as a tanning salon, but harboring a darker reality. This was a world far removed from the innocence of high school cheerleading and church visits. A shadowy corner of Nashville's burgeoning adult entertainment scene. While seemingly portraying itself as a tanning salon, police believed this was an adult entertainment venue where women performed exotic dances for men, with potential ties to sex trafficking. The establishment had just one tanning bed and five waiting rooms, each furnished with a love seat. Drawn by the promise of lucrative earnings, both women began working there in secrecy. One former employee testified to making between $500 and $600 a day. Melissa's mother, Gail, says a 24-year-old guy came and recruited a bunch of girls. These girls were being trafficked in 1996, before it even had a name. Deborah said Tiffany knew she didn't agree with it. On the other hand, she saw Tiffany finally getting over her divorce from Tiffany's father 10 years prior. She was happier than she'd been in probably 7 years. "I just don't get it," Deborah said. Tiffany's grandmother said she had found out days before the murder, but didn't want her granddaughter to know she knew. Both families confirmed neither woman performed sex work. It would all go very, very wrong nearly 6 months later on February 22nd, 1996, where their lives were tragically and unjustly stolen. Stay with us as we unravel the mystery of the Tanning Bed Murders, a case that has haunted Nashville for decades. This is Murder on Music Row, where every story is a melody and every silence is a clue. Let's begin our journey into one of Nashville's darkest days. A moderately warm day for that time of year, with temps in the low 60s, Exotic Tan for Men sits unassuming on the street, a squat gray cinder block building with tinted windows and stickers on the front glass door that read, "Open daily, 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. A quiet Thursday morning where Tiffany and Melissa were working the day shift alone. While Melissa was already scheduled, Tiffany was picking up a shift for a fellow coworker. A seemingly normal day for the two, until it wasn't. Fast forward to 11 a.m., about 1 hour after opening. The last time, police say, the women were seen alive. The phone rings inside the salon. The general manager, Keith Scott, has been trying to reach Melissa and Tiffany, but his calls went unanswered. So he decides to show up around 2 p.m. to check in with the women, but is met with a gruesome discovery. Finding no one at the front, he walks back to the employees-only break room and finds Tiffany and Melissa brutally stabbed to death. Keith hurries to call the police and they arrive quickly, only 10 minutes or so later. So this is where we'll stop and do a quick rundown of who, what, where, how, and why. Who? Tiffany and Melissa. What? Brutally murdered. Where? Discovered in an employee-only break room. How? Collectively stabbed nearly 100 times with a double-edged knife. Why? That remains the biggest question. The scene is described by former Metro Police Murder Squad Captain Mickey Miller as horrific and unforgettable. The severity of the stabbings indicated a crime of passion, according to investigators. Police arrived and sectioned off the building and its neighbor, the Garden Allegro restaurant, with crime scene tape. When questioned, employees from surrounding businesses said they hadn't heard or seen anything, and in fact, didn't know much about the business. In addition, police questioned two other female employees from the salon. Police officials snapped photos of the scene, including tire tracks found behind Exotic Tan for Men, and even went to the roof to see if they could find any additional evidence. This is all according to an article in the Tennessean newspaper dated February 23, 1996, the day after the murders happened. Officials not only found tire tracks, but another very important piece of evidence, the sheath of a military-style knife left behind. But unfortunately, no knife. An article from Medium mentioned the weapon may have been a large Air Force bayonet knife, which is a knife, dagger, sword, or spike-shaped weapon designed to fit on the end of the muzzle of a rifle. So we have a knife sheath, tire tracks, some DNA evidence, but no witnesses. So what about surveillance footage? Surely, in 1996, there was some sort of security camera recording. Why, yes, there was, but the murderer had cunningly removed the equipment, leaving police with absolutely no recorded footage. As we delve deeper into this case, the complexities become apparent. No solid leads, no witnesses, and a crime scene that offers more questions than answers. The investigation stumbles through various theories. Was it a targeted attack, a crime of passion, or something more sinister? The next day, February 23rd, while police are diligently tracking down leads and investigating motives, including ex-boyfriends of both Tiffany and Melissa, along with past unruly customers, police also are looking into a connection with another brutal murder of two women in Oak Grove, Kentucky. These killings happened in 1994, resulting in two women dead in the back of a massage parlor, stabbed and shot. But this connection is ruled out. So on to another motive. Possibly a serial killer? Later, police would look into the notorious fast food killer Paul Dennis Reed, but would find no connections. Maybe a robbery then. Investigators say unlikely, because no money was taken. The employees didn't keep cash on them, and customers paid by leaving their money in a secure and locked safe. In checking the safe, no money was taken from it that day. The only items other than the surveillance footage and equipment stolen were Melissa's car keys and wallet, as well as Tiffany's ID, checkbook, and Walkman. The personal items stolen speak even further to the murderer being someone they knew. We have a brutal stabbing, someone who knew the area and took only personal items from both women. Which sounds like a crime of passion. Most likely, yes, according to investigators. Captain Mickey Miller believes Tiffany was most likely the target, and Melissa walked in, which is why she had so many defensive blows on her. One of the women was stabbed more than 50 times with an 11-inch knife, and News Channel 5 reported the other was stabbed 30 times. Police believe one or both of the girls knew the murderer, as there were no signs of forced entry and no signatures on the sign-in sheet during the time frame of the murders. Murder Squad Detective Grady Alayum said it was a crime of passion. The individual knew the layout and he didn't follow the rules. There are many indicators of this, Alayum explained, saying the killer didn't sign in, as patrons are required to do so. The victims weren't found in an entertaining room, but a secure employees-only space where they took breaks and watched TV. Retired Sergeant Pat Pastiglione, a respected Nashville detective who later worked on the case when it was transferred to the Cold Case Unit, said when someone is brutally murdered like these girls, it's typically someone who has lost control. Although ex-boyfriends of both Tiffany and Melissa, along with unruly past clients, were interviewed, none could be tied to the crime. For Tiffany and Melissa's families, the pain of loss is compounded by the mystery surrounding their deaths. Gail, Melissa's mother, recalls the harrowing day she learned of her daughter's fate, a moment that still haunts her. Rewinding back to the beginning of February 22nd, it was still a normal day for Melissa's mother. She was dining at Chili's when her pager went off, alerting her to call home. When she did, the next-door neighbor and Smith County Sheriff told her that something had happened to Melissa and to call the Metro chaplain. Gail just knew her daughter was dead. She raced to Memorial Hospital, and there she found her husband sobbing, standing next to the chaplain, Bible in hand. When told it was her daughter who had been stabbed to death at Exotic Tan for Men, she adamantly denied it. Not her daughter. They had the wrong girl. According to a Nashville Scene article, Gail said it was a double blow. Finding out your daughter was working at a place like that, and the next minute, finding out she had been murdered. Gail said, kids make stupid decisions and bad choices all the time, but most of them don't end in murder. She even had a dream the week before that Melissa had been murdered. One that scared her so bad, she traveled to Murfreesboro to check on her daughter. Melissa reassured her mom she was fine, saying, "Oh, Mama, I'm all right. Everything's fine." To which Gail replied, "No, you're not. Something's wrong, and I have a bad feeling." While Tiffany's grandmother, Ernestine, said she spoke to Tiffany the night before she was murdered, "I love you, and I loved her very much." An even more tragic part of the story is that both Melissa and Tiffany were ready to cut ties with Exotic Tan for Men. Melissa's friends and fellow co-workers said she was ready to quit and hated working there. Her roommate said she was even ready to tell her mom about it, but didn't since she was already quitting. Tiffany was also ready to quit, even having a fight with the owner the night before the murder. She was working on her GED and wanted better while rebuilding a relationship with her father. Gail was so sure that the murders would be solved quickly that the Monday after Melissa's memorial service, she went to police headquarters to find out who killed her child. The bodies were being autopsied, but tragically, Gail didn't walk away with any closure. Her firstborn, kind-hearted daughter's murder was still unsolved and would continue to be for years. The pursuit of justice for Tiffany and Melissa becomes an agonizing journey for their families, a journey that would span nearly two decades and almost 17 long years to the day. Join us next week as we explore the subsequent investigations, the twists and turns, and the relentless quest for justice. Who was responsible for the brutal deaths of Tiffany Campbell and Melissa Chilton? Will their families ever find peace and closure? This is Murder on Music Row. Every episode brings us closer to understanding the heartache and mystery that lingers in Nashville's darkest corners. Stay tuned.